Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Brian Lynn, Ashley, and John Russell. Later, we will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
Two members of a U.S.-based religious group who were taken hostage last month in Haiti have been released. The organization that sent the missionaries, Christian Aid Ministries, announced the release on Sunday. A spokesman for Haiti's National Police Force also confirmed the release to news agencies. The group of 16 American citizens and one Canadian was kidnapped by a group called 400 Mawozo on October 16th. There are five children in the group, including an eight-month-old. The organization said the group was taken while on a trip to an orphanage, a home for children who do not have parents to take care of them. In a statement, Christian Aid Ministries said the released hostages were safe and in good spirits. While we rejoice at this release, our hearts are with the 15 people who are still being held, the Ohio-based group said. The statement did not give the names of those freed or provide any other information about the release. The leader of the 400 Mawozo gang has threatened to kill the hostages unless his demands are met. Haitian officials have said the gang had demanded up to $1 million for each person. The release comes as Haiti struggles with a recent rise in gang-related kidnappings. Increasing crime and insecurity followed the murder of President Jovenel Moïse on July 7th and a powerful earthquake that killed more than 2,200 people in August. The issues led the U.S. government recently to urge U.S. citizens to leave Haiti. On Friday, Canada announced it was withdrawing all but necessary employees from its embassy. A fuel shortage has forced hospitals to turn away patients and affected public transportation. The situation also led some schools to close and businesses to shorten their work hours. I'm Brian Lynn.
Investigators are trying to find out if the driver of a vehicle that crashed into a parade in the state of Wisconsin was fleeing a crime. The incident happened Sunday during a Christmas holiday parade in Waukesha near the city of Milwaukee. Five people were reportedly killed in the crash. A law enforcement official told the Associated Press that more than 40 others were injured. The parade included marching bands and children dancing. A sports utility vehicle, or SUV, sped through barriers and struck the dancers, musicians, and others. One video of the incident showed a woman screaming, "Oh my God!" repeatedly as a group of young dancers was struck. Members of a Dancing Grannies Club were also among those killed and injured. Waukesha Police Chief Dan Thompson identified the driver as Daryl Brooks Jr. Thompson said there was no evidence the incident was linked to terrorism. Brooks was detained after a Waukesha police officer opened fire to try to stop the vehicle. Earlier on Sunday, Brooks had left the site of a crime before officers arrived. Police described the earlier crime as an argument involving a knife. They added that he was not being chased by police at the time of the crash. The police chief gave no additional details on the earlier crime. On social media, the city of Waukesha said the number of dead was at least five. The city's live streaming video captured images of the deadly incident. So did people who recorded the event with their phones. One video shows the moment when the SUV broke through the barriers. The sound of apparent gunfire can be heard. Another video shows a young child dancing in the street as the SUV speeds by before it crashes into parade attendees. The Milwaukee Dancing Grannies group wrote on its Facebook page that some of its members were among the dead. "Our group was doing what they loved, performing in front of crowds in a parade, putting smiles on faces of all ages, filling them with joy and happiness," it wrote. Chris Germain is co-owner of the Aspire Dance Center Studio. His business had about 70 people in the parade. That included children as young as 2. Germain's 3-year-old daughter took part in the parade. He said he was driving at the head of his group's parade section when he saw the SUV just blaze right past us. Blaze means to move very quickly. Germain jumped out of his own SUV he was driving and gathered the girls who were with him to safety. Then he walked ahead to see the damage. He said emergency workers were performing life-saving measures on many people. There were small children laying all over the road. There were police officers and EMTs doing CPR on multiple members of the parade, he said. The Waukesha School District canceled classes Monday and said extra mental health experts would be available for students and employees. The parade's list of performers included cheer, dance, and band groups from area schools. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers called the deadly incident a senseless act. The Christmas parade is held each year in Waukesha on the Sunday before Thanksgiving.
The Delta variant of the SARS-CoV-2 virus is responsible for most cases of coronavirus infections worldwide, scientists say. The COVID-19 vaccines work well against the variant so far. Fully vaccinated people who get infected rarely require hospital stays or die from the disease, medical experts say. But scientists continue to watch Delta closely for changes. The Delta variant, first identified in India in December 2020, remains the most troubling kind of SARS-CoV-2 virus. The World Health Organization describes Delta as a variant of concern. That means the variant can increase disease spread, cause more severe disease, or reduce the effects of vaccines and treatments. Shane Crotty is a virus expert at the La Jolla Institute for Immunology in San Diego. He described Delta's ability to spread as a superpower. Delta is able to spread more than 2 times faster than other SARS-CoV-2 variants, says the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Studies suggest it may be more likely to put infected people in the hospital than earlier forms of the virus. Delta also can cause symptoms 2 to 3 days sooner than the original SARS-CoV-2, giving the immune system less time to put up a defense. People infected with Delta carry around 1,200 times more virus in their noses compared with the first kind of the coronavirus. The amount of virus in vaccinated individuals who become infected with Delta is about the same as those who are unvaccinated. And both vaccinated and unvaccinated people can spread the virus to others. In vaccinated people, however, the amount of virus drops more quickly, so they likely spread the virus for a shorter time. The WHO says Delta makes up 99.5% of all genetic samples of coronavirus infection reported to public databases. However, in South America, where Delta has spread more slowly, other variants such as Gamma, Lambda, and Mu still make up a large number of reported cases. Many vaccine experts predict that all future variants will develop from Delta. One such variant is known as AY42. In Britain, the variant represents 10% of virus samples. The British government's Health Security Agency has named the AY42 a variant under investigation. Officials say an early study suggests the variant does not substantially reduce vaccine effectiveness in comparison to Delta. However, there is some evidence that AY42 could spread more easily than the older Delta, the agency said. AY42 has spread to at least 42 countries, including the United States. Virus experts are closely watching the evolution of Delta. While current vaccines prevent severe disease and death, they do not block infection. A person can be fully vaccinated and still carry and pass the virus. What is needed to defeat SARS-CoV-2 is likely a new kind of vaccine that also blocks virus spread, said Dr. Gregory Poland, a vaccine developer at the Mayo Clinic. Until then, Poland and other experts say, the world remains easily hurt by the virus. I'm John Russell.
To help protect yourself against the new coronavirus, wash your hands for 20 seconds with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, and after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus. If you cannot wash your hands with soap and water, use an alcohol-based hand sanitizer that contains at least 60% alcohol. Taking these steps can help prevent not only the new coronavirus disease, but also colds, flu, and other viruses. For more information, visit the following websites: the World Health Organization at www.who.int, or the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention at www.cdc.gov.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. In 1864, the Union of Northern States and the Confederacy of Southern States were still fighting. The Civil War began in 1861. Each side had its own constitution. Under the Union Constitution, Americans were supposed to elect a president every 4 years. 1864 was such a year. And even though a great civil war was being fought, citizens of the North prepared to choose a leader. Shep O'Neill and Morris Joyce tell the story of the election of 1864.
Abraham Lincoln was completing his first term as president. He hoped to lead the nation for another 4 years. He wanted to win the war between the states. He wanted to rebuild the Union. Lincoln's Republican Party was divided. Moderate Republicans wanted to rebuild the Union as soon as the war ended. They believed Southern states should be welcomed back with full rights. Radical Republicans disagreed strongly. They demanded severe punishment for the Southern rebels.
For many months, President Lincoln worked to build a political majority. He formed a new group called the National Union Party. It included moderate Republicans and some Democrats. Lincoln succeeded in gaining the support of state and local political leaders. It soon became clear that Lincoln would be the party's presidential candidate in the election.
Several hundred radical Republicans held their own convention in Cleveland, Ohio. They formed a new political party called the Radical Democracy. They nominated explorer John Fremont as their candidate for the national election. Fremont had been the Republican presidential candidate 8 years earlier. Most of the radical Republicans in Congress did not take part in the convention in Cleveland. They refused to support Fremont. They felt he had no chance to win the election.
President Lincoln's new National Union Party held its convention in Baltimore, Maryland. Convention delegates quickly approved a party statement. The statement supported the Union and the war. It opposed slavery. Delegates then were ready to nominate their candidates for president and vice president. On the first ballot, they chose Lincoln to run again. And they chose Democrat Andrew Johnson of Tennessee to run as vice president.
During the campaign, Lincoln was advised to begin peace talks with the South. End the war, he was told. bring Southern states back into the Union. Settle the question of slavery later. Lincoln, however, believed his policies were right for the nation. He would not surrender them, even if they meant his defeat in the election. Lincoln hated the war, but he would not end it until military victory ended slavery and guaranteed political union.
In August 1864, Lincoln wrote, "For some days past, it seems that this administration probably will not be reelected. Then it will be my duty to cooperate with the president-elect to save the Union. We must do this between Election Day and Inauguration Day, for he will have been elected on such ground that he cannot possibly save the Union afterwards."
The Democratic Party held its nominating convention in Chicago, Illinois. Peace Democrats were in firm control. Peace Democrats demanded an immediate end to the Civil War. They did not care if the North and South remained apart permanently. The party's statement contained these words: "After 4 years of failure to restore the Union by war, justice, humanity, liberty, and the public welfare demand that immediate efforts be made to end the fighting. Let us look to a convention of states or other peaceable means to restore the Union."
The Democratic statement did not discuss slavery. It did say, however, that any state wishing to return to the Union could do so without losing any of its constitutional rights. This was believed to include the right to own slaves. Convention delegates approved the statement. Then they nominated General George McClellan as their candidate for president.
3 days after the Democratic Party convention closed, the Union won an important military victory. Union troops captured Atlanta, Georgia. Atlanta was one of the last remaining industrial cities of the South. Its loss seriously hurt the Confederacy. Now the people of the North could understand their side was winning the war. Public opinion began to change. The Peace Democrats lost popular support. President Lincoln and his National Union Party gained popular support. Even some supporters of radical Republican candidate John Fremont turned to Lincoln. Fremont withdrew from the race.
When the people voted in November, their choice was between Abraham Lincoln and George McClellan. A vote for Lincoln meant a vote for continuing the Civil War until it was won, until the Union was saved. A vote for McClellan meant a vote for stopping the war, stopping short of victory. By midnight of Election Day, it was clear that Lincoln had won. He got only about 500,000 more popular votes than McClellan. But when electoral votes were counted, he got 212 to McClellan's 21.
Before Lincoln's second inaugural, he agreed to hold peace talks with representatives of the Confederacy. The talks would be held at a Union fort on the Chesapeake Bay. Lincoln was very firm in one demand. The talks, he said, must discuss peace for our one common country. There could be no talk, he said, of Confederate independence. The Confederate representative said they could not accept those terms. The peace talks ended in failure.
Lincoln returned to Washington. He prepared a message that he wished to send to Congress. It contained a program he felt could end the war within a few weeks. Lincoln proposed $400 million in economic aid to the southern states. The money could be used to pay slave owners for freeing their slaves. Half the money would be paid if the southern states gave up their struggle by April 1st. The other half would be paid if they approved by July 1st a constitutional amendment ending slavery. As part of the program, Lincoln would pardon all political crimes resulting from the Southern Rebellion. He also would return all property seized by Union forces.
Lincoln's cabinet officers rejected the program. They urged him not to send it to Congress. They said it would be seen as a sign of weakness. Lincoln was surprised by the reaction. He thought his cabinet would gladly end the war, a war that was costing the government $3 million a day and the lives of the nation's young men. But he accepted the cabinet's advice. He did not send his message to Congress.
On March 4th, 1865, Abraham Lincoln was sworn in as president for a second term. This is part of what he said. On this occasion, 4 years ago, all thoughts were directed to a coming civil war. All feared it. All tried to prevent it. Both parties opposed war. But one of them would make war rather than let the nation live. The other would accept war rather than let it die. And the war came. We hope and we pray that this terrible war may pass away quickly. But God may wish it otherwise. He may have it continue until the riches earned from 250 years of slavery are gone. It may continue until every drop of blood made by the slave owner's whip is paid for by another made by the soldier's sword. With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in. Let us heal the nation's wounds. Let us do all possible to get and keep a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations.
That night, the White House was open to the public. Thousands of people went to see the president. Poet Walt Whitman gave this description. I saw Mr. Lincoln dressed all in black. He was shaking hands, looking very sad, as if he would give anything to be somewhere else.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.